tuned in to Radio Aryan.
Hello and welcome to the Stormer Report. Today's date is the 2nd of December 2015. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and as always, I'm joined today by the publisher of the Daily Stormer, Mr. Andrew Anglin. How are you doing on this fine winter's day, Andre?
Pretty excellent. Getting by in the cold.
Well, that's good to hear. We've got we've got an exciting program lined up for people today. We've got two main subjects that we're going to be dealing with that Andre's going to be reporting on. And they are the feminist subject that you've been going into this week in a few articles detailing on why it is that these feminists don't have this joined up thinking and why they are siding with the Muslims, even though the Muslims would appear to be totally against everything that the feminists stand for. And the second subject is Russia and Turkey and what's going on in Syria, and specifically Turkey's links to ISIS and the extremist Muslims. But we'll start off, I think, with the feminist issue, and this created quite a bit of controversy, and I really don't know why it still creates controversy, because it's basically just reiterating facts that have been obfuscated by the modern day women, by these feminists, and men that go along with these with what these feminists are saying, they are just cucked, basically. They're just being feminists themselves by agreeing with it and white knighting for these women. I really don't understand this. Men, it seems to me that the gist of your articles, Andre, are that men need to be behaving like men, and they need to, once they start being like that, having self-discipline, showing that they have a will, showing that they're not going to stand for the women behaving like this, then the women will come back into line again. Because that's the natural order of things.
The crybabies will say that I'm attacking women. And women will go on there and not make it clear that they are women and say that I'm attacking women. I don't care to attack women. I don't have any desire. I mean, what would be the purpose of that? It serves no purpose whatsoever. I mean, I can say that, yeah, I mean, the way I frame things, you know, maybe it's because I say outrageous things. I mean, that's part of my style. So, you know, the way I frame certain things, maybe it's meant to purposefully, I mean, it is definitely meant to purposefully provoke people, and maybe certain people are unable to sort of work that out. But I've said all along that this is the responsibility of men to deal with this problem, because they've given women free rein and they're acting like animals. All over this is happening, but I mean, particularly in, well, the UK, I think, is the worst, if not Australia, maybe worse. I don't know. Probably the UK is the worst. America is very bad. France is very bad. And the rest of the Anglo countries, Canada, obviously horrible. But, with these women end up acting like Jews when you allow them free rein. And I mean, it's because it's not natural for them to be in that position. You're putting them in a position that was never intended biologically for them to be making these political decisions and influencing the political system. And the obvious proof of that is that it never happened at any point ever in history, literally ever in history. Go back to any time, even going back to prehistory, we can see with, you know, digging up, archaeological sites that they weren't doing this. So, and the same thing with the primitive peoples now. They're not doing it. I mean, there's no humanoid who has ever allowed women influence on the political system and on the structure of society, just because there's no reason to do it. It doesn't make any sense. What's to be gained there? The argument is why not, or, you know, it liberates them, you know, whatever they want to say. But the counter argument is, well, what's to be gained here? I mean, if there's zero to be gained, then why would we do this? So, it is the responsibility of the men who have allowed this to happen that women are incapable of, because that's just their nature. It's like letting a bunch of wolves loose on the streets, during a parade. So, you know, is it the wolf's fault if they start biting people?
Their way of dealing with things is completely different to the way that men deal with things. Women are guided entirely by their feelings and by their emotions, which is why when they see For instance, the dead boy on the beach, the Turkish boy on the Turkish beach, or Syrian boy on the beach, then they're demanding to open up the borders and allow Europe to be flooded with refugees. And all the pictures that you showed with your article were showing you these women offering free hugs to the refugees, calling for more invasion. And this is all just from pulling at their heartstrings, because they're not capable of thinking logically, which is what leads on to where you state that they're not fully responsible for their actions, which is why men never allowed them into these positions in the first place, because they knew that they would just sow the seeds of chaos. Because that's what they do. That's what they get an enjoyment out of it, of setting these challenges and testing men. They're constantly testing men to take charge over them, basically.
Well, especially when they don't have kids. I mean, they don't have anything else to do, because their whole mind is emotional and they just want drama. If they don't have something to do, which is usually taking care of kids, and you know, they used to cook and clean and so on. I mean, I can recognize that with technology that takes a lot less time. I mean, just the dishwasher and the clothes washing machine and so on, you know, it's freed up a lot of time for these women, but they don't have kids. So, I mean, what do they have to do? They don't really care about the man stuff that they're supposed to be doing. In the modern society, they're supposed to be, you know, all involved in these male occupations and doing all this stuff. They don't actually care about that. So they turn everything into their drama, and you know, men are forced to live in this, and they're forced to engage with this drama that these women create. So they take on these characteristics of this drama mongering, because it's just what they're oriented towards when they grow up in a feminist society, that everything is about some kind of weird emotional drama, and men engage in this. Because they're told that it's somehow normal to engage in this, even though it's gay. And, then the women lose respect for the men because they're acting like women. And it's on a biological level that this is not appealing to women to have men engaging in this feminine behavior. It's a major off to women. Women like men who are in control and assertive and all these. I mean, just, you know, you can watch an old cowboy movie. I mean, it's obviously exaggerated, the masculinity by Hollywood in these old movies, but you know, it's the ideal form of it is you know, Clint Eastwood, The Man with No Name. I mean, not that people actually have to act like that to you know, be respected by women or other men, but that's the archetype of masculinity is in these old cowboy movies. So, or in the, you know, the Iliad and the Odyssey, these books are worth looking at, these stories about how the men behaved back then. So, you know, it's fundamentally unappealing, and women then feel like they need to walk all over you to push you to begin acting like men again. And instead of doing that, people are just men in the West are continuing to placate these women and just continuing to go along with their drama. And I said, you know, I mean, this is why they want Islam in Europe, and they do, because anybody can look at this situation and see that this is going to lead to Islam in Europe. You can see it. There's no denying it. When you're bringing in millions of people every year who are Islamic and are having all these kids, and they're announcing, we're going to marry your daughters, and these daughters are saying, oh, yeah, okay, bring more of them in. So, you know, and this situation with Rotherham, they, you know, I mean, whether or not it's rape, I don't know. They framed it that way, but I mean, these girls were involved with these men for months, sometimes years on end. And one of the girls, a testimony, she said it was so much fun because they were so powerful and everybody respected them. And here's the deal: we felt protected with them.
Well,
so, I mean, there you have it.
That's what it all boils down to, is the protection issue. The women might say that they want to be like the men and they want to do all the things that the men do, but their basic biological instinct is to desire protection and to be provided for. And they might prevaricate and make all these noises that they don't really want that, but that is in actual fact what they really want. I mean, that shows it there, that that's what they really want. And there's a biological basis to the reason why they behave like this. And I've got a quote here from a short book by Simon Shepherd called All About Women, What Big Sister Doesn't Want You to Know. And this is about the corpus callosum. It says, females are unable to separate feelings from logic. The corpus callosum, which joins the two hemispheres of the brain, is wider in women than in men. Female instincts are regarded as safer, so there has been less need for females to inhibit them. Females' favorite occupation is sitting around, measuring, thinking, and talking about their feelings. The female instinct is to be passive and to signal. Contrarywise, males must control their instinct to act, or they are soon taken out of circulation, either by being killed by other members of the tribe or by being imprisoned. And this is what we have now. We have men who are confused, don't know how to act. So some of them explode and then they get locked up. And you've got women who are just being allowed to control things. And they've got this joining area between the two sides of the brain, which basically causes confusion. So the logic side, emotions bleed into the logic side and logic bleeds into the emotional side. So they're not capable of decision making. They're just biologically not capable of making the right decisions in areas that require logic. And this is why we have this mess.
I'm not a neurobiologist. I don't know what that is. But I do know that the endocrine system obviously affects behavior. And they've done this with Thai trannies. These Thai trannies take estrogen injections and it changes their whole emotional behavior. I mean, completely. This proves the point, as if we needed it proved. The estrogen causes emotionality. And when you have estrogen in the brain, it causes emotionality and inability to process information logically without emotion. I mean, to me, this is just an obvious blatant fact that for anybody to actually be like, oh, no. I mean, it's retarded to me. And the other thing is, I mean, these people are like, oh, well, we got to get these women into the Nazi movement. We got to get them involved in our movement. It's like, well, what's the point? And how are you going to do that? And what makes you think that trying to placate them and cater to them? I mean, it's just more as white knighting, because if you're going to have women attracted to your movement, it's going to be because you're strong and you don't project strength by saying, oh yeah, our Aryan princesses, we will protect you and take care of you. I mean, that's not something that you go around saying, because you just look like a weak faggot.
Well, women are attracted to things that they're kept out from. This is why they've invaded all the social spaces where originally they were kept away from. They didn't go in the pubs. They didn't go in the clubs. There were lots of spaces outside the home that were just purely for men. And the women demanded to be allowed into them, forced their way in there. And the reason why you don't have them in there is because, as you say, men have testosterone. We see women, we become attracted to them, and then the men start fighting over the women. And if it's not physical fighting, then it's still going to be going on there in the background, in the subconscious. There's going to be attractions going on, and there's going to be people jostling to gain the favors of the woman. And you see it in politics sometimes with the female politicians. And at the same time as that, you've also got the loyalty that the women have, which is to other women. It's not to their race, it's to other women. And that's what's being pushed all the time to today's women, is that their loyalty is to other females of all the other races, and that they together are standing against the males of their own race. I mean, we saw this in the leadership elections in Britain, where there were various female leaders of different parties, and they were all getting together and saying, well, as a woman, and I know that all the other women on this panel will agree. So they were all agreeing together to carry out these policies that were just for the benefit of women, not for the benefit of the party
like
that
Jews
were involved in. Yeah, very much like Jews. I think it's perfectly correct to show the link between them and the link in their behavior. And a female who is allowed to totally have uninhibited instincts will behave like a Jew. Now, materialistic. The Jewish behavior is feminine in its essence. I forget who it was that pointed that out. I think you quoted
Otto Weininger.
Otto Weininger, yeah, I mean, it has been shown, and the why the females behave like this is because it's evolutionary practical for them to behave like this. If they are emotional,
it's a survival.
Yeah,
strategy,
survival mechanism for them because they don't have the physical strength that we have. They're not capable of providing and defending for themselves, so they have to use what they have got. Which is sex, basically. They have to use that in order to get themselves a man. And in order to get themselves a good man, then they have to test that man. And they're constantly testing them. And that's what this is. All of this feminism is just testing men. And instead of actually behaving like men, too many of us have given into it and forgot that the woman never actually says what it is she really wants. And people believe this feminism stuff, that this is what the women really want. And it isn't what the women really want. What the women really want is to be thrown over the back of the bloke's shoulder and rushed off on a horse and kidnapped somewhere and married. And that's the way it used to go. In a lot of cases, that's what they fantasize about.
They all fantasize about rape and they admit it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 70-something percent of women fantasize about rape and admit it. So, I mean, probably some of them do it and don't admit it. So, yeah, I mean, it's obvious. It's the female fantasy is being dominated, just like the male fantasy is a lot of times domination, or it should be that. But, yeah, I mean, they're completely out of control, and it's obvious. And, you know, I mean, people will say, oh, well, you're blaming women instead of the Jews. Well, it's obviously Jews' fault. I mean, are you a child that I have to explain this to you? You know, I mean, obviously Jews are the initial issue here that we're dealing with, who created this whole feminist disaster. It was all Jews, from top to bottom. It was Jews who created this. But, you know, it's the major thing that they've done. It's the source of all these other problems is this female revolution, which led to just a completely out of control death spiral, where anything can now be pushed through by appealing to women's emotions, because it's a science. Manipulating women's emotions is a science. You can do it very, very easily. So, I mean, you know, they know this in advertising and marketing. They know this about women, that you can just manipulate their thoughts 100%. And men, it's a little bit more complicated. You can manipulate men with sex, obviously, which is what women do. And I mean, we are vulnerable to that, but, overall it's more difficult to manipulate men psychologically, because they have that logic to fall back on, or they're supposed to. I mean, now men have become so faggotized and they have such high estrogen levels, which, I mean, being out of shape causes this a lot. I mean, you see these men who have these leftist beliefs, and they're usually out of shape, which causes lower testosterone. If you have fat on your body, it actually produces estrogen. And if you have no muscle mass, then you're not really producing the amount of testosterone that you should be producing. I mean, this is not to say you have to be, you know, muscle man, but I mean, these things, you can see these things where people that have right-wing views tend to be in better shape, more physically attractive, and left-wing type males tend to be more pathetic or weak looking.
You need to take care of your body, and then take care of your character and your spirit and everything that you think about as well. It's all intertwined. Once you start looking after yourself physically, then you start looking after yourself mentally, and you become a desirable person to these women. I think maybe we should just point out that when we're saying there about these rape fantasies that women have, in no way are encouraging rape or would ever encourage that. That's just a way to point out that is what they truly desire is completely different from what they are actually saying. And I've got a quote here from one of your articles where you say, women engage in provocations of men to force men to prove themselves constantly. Men are supposed to be able to recognize this and respond accordingly. And I think that sums it all up in two sentences. And us men are not responding accordingly. And you also come out with a solution to this, which I thought is possibly could be a very effective one, which is shaming. And shaming them for their behavior, because women don't like to be embarrassed, and they don't like to be shamed. They really don't like it because of how emotional they are. So I don't know if you've actually thought any further into this in any ways that could be put to use, Andre, at all. This idea of shaming them for their behavior, and then maybe that helping in some way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess people know how shame works. You know, I think that on a social level and on an individual level, you can apply that to women and just when they behave like this. But I mean, also, if you're at work in England, you can probably get arrested for this even if you're not at work. So I mean, there's that to think about. So, I mean, I think the main thing that men should focus on is developing their own male masculine identity. And I think a lot of young people, I mean, people read me saying this and be like, you know, you fags. But it's like, there's a lot of people that are really struggling with this, who need advice. I mean, especially we have a lot of teenagers, you know, who have grown up in a complete matriarchy, just being abused from birth by these feminists. So, you know, it's something that's important to understand, that you've been thrown into this situation that's not natural, and you have a right. You have rights as a male. And I'd say that developing that identity as a man is the key thing. I mean, you look at this, which for some reason I'm getting accused of being a pickup artist, which I've never endorsed. I thought about making some videos of me on the street talking to girls and acting like a Nazi and getting phone numbers. That might be funny, but
yeah, it would be. see what the response was.
Yeah, no, you can totally do it. I should get somebody to record me doing it. But you know, it's these pickup artists talk about like tricks and that you can trick and pick up these behaviors and then trick women into thinking. And, you know, I would never encourage this of anybody that they say, like, act like an asshole and they'll like you. And it's like, well, I don't know. Maybe that will work, possibly, but probably not. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it works or not. I've never done it. But basically, if you develop yourself as a man, you're going to be appealing to women, and you're not going to be some kind of ninnying fag boy who tries to do all her little things that she wants and listens to all her nonsense when she's gibbering, which this is what women do. They gibber, and most of what comes out of her mouth is completely inane. Not that you should, you know, slap her around for saying it, but you know, if you play the role of like you're another woman, because if you watch women, they care about what each other are saying, even though what they're saying has no actual meaning. They just gibber back and forth with each other. So, you know, if you engage in that with women, then you come across as unattractive. And you know, I mean, just handling women, I think, is based on your security in yourself and your personal confidence. I don't think that you need to teach tricks about how to specifically engage women. I mean, I maybe that stuff works. It doesn't really seem like it would, but you know, I think that what men who are having problems dealing with women need to focus on is their own issues and their personal development issues, which and it's perfectly okay to admit that you have, you know, you have problems with this, and you need to develop yourself, because it would be incredible if you didn't. Because most people grow up in this situation without real male authority and surrounded by women who try and get you to behave like women. And the whole school system is about acting like a woman and treating these women as equals and, you know, playing these stupid games where these teachers will punish you if they think you violated their emotional manipulation program. You know, and it's something that you have to break out of and overcome.
I think, you know, they always used to say you have to play hard to get. You have to play hard to get with women, and giving in to their demands is not playing hard to get. And men today seem to think that they should be giving in to women's demands all the time and being some kind of lapdog, and that's going to get them women. it isn't. You know, you have got to play hard to get. If you really like someone, then don't show it. You know, that's the way that they are. As a man, we want to show it, but women don't find that attractive. They don't want somebody that's throwing themselves at their feet. They want somebody that is hard to get, basically. And I think when we see women that are half undressed, I mean, just a disapproving look is going to shock them, because they're going to be expecting to see men falling over and wanting to buy them drinks and all the rest of it when they're dressed like that. So if instead of being offered a drink, they get a disapproving look, then that might make them think twice about going out dressed like that. Now, that's just one thing that I can think of, because where women are so much more emotional, they pick up on these things, and whereas a man wouldn't be fussed if he got a disapproving look, it's gonna have a lot more effect on a woman. It's just one of the ways that I thought of when I read that bit about shaming, and I thought, well, that's one of the ways that it can be done. Just give them a disapproving look rather than offering to buy them a drink. It's quite a simple thing to do, I think, anyway. But I think it's good that you're addressing it anyway, Andre, and it's a shame that people, the usual criticism comes out, people saying, oh, well, you must be homosexual, or, oh, well, you must have problems with girlfriends, or what have you, and that it's all nonsense, really, to be saying that, because, you know, you clearly don't, you're clearly not homosexual, you clearly don't have problems with girlfriends, and you clearly
have good... I do pretty good with women. I'm only 5'7", and I've always had women around me, so, you know, I mean, it's just about having confidence in yourself and you know, not playing this game with these women. It's not there's no secret trick here, which the pickup artist, they want to talk about these secret tricks, and this is like to avoid the reality that in order to be appealing to women, you're going to have to be a man. So, I mean, if you just do things where you try to mimic actual masculine behavior, then you're you're just doing some kind of weird trick. You know, who wants to live their life on tricks?
I know, you got to be honest and truthful. And the other thing, you know, you're saying it is the Jews behind this, but you know, what sort of people are we if we can't resist what the Jew puts in front of us? And that's the whole point of it, is we're supposed to resist what the Jew tempts us with. And this is one of those things that we have to resist it and put a foot down. And if we get called chauvinists or anti-women, then so be it. Because all we're really doing is promoting the same ideology that our people have had for thousands of years, right the way throughout the world. The women have played a supporting role, and the men have provided for and protected the women, and that's just the way that it is. And it again, in your articles, you point out that this doesn't really seem to affect these other races, because they're not so advanced as us. So the manipulation, the brainwashing, doesn't have such an effect on them. So
Well, I mean, you couldn't do it to a gorilla. You can't do it to an Arab or a black. I mean, it's just the complexity of the European mind allows for more manipulation than the monkey mind.
And this is why the women are attracted to these other races in some instances, is because they're not so easily affected by this, and they even though they're sort of lesser beings, as it were, they're still showing this masculine side to it. They won't allow their women to play up and play around. They just won't allow it. You take it to that extreme with the Muslims, where they've got them all covered up, which is what they're demanding for, and yet the women are still supporting these Muslims.
Well, they love
calling
it
for that,
and the women love it, wearing that stuff. I mean, they go out and protest in France when they say you can't wear the burqa. It's all women out there protesting again. It's not men. It's all women out there protesting for the burqa, that they want that. They want that role of the. Of the whatever, the oppressed victim.
And when we try to force this on the rest of the world, I mean, this is part of what's going on in Syria. We're trying to force this this ideology of freeing up the women and feminism and pro-homosexual and all the nonsense that's coming from America, Israel, and the EU. And that's what we're trying to force on the rest of the world. And of course, Putin's standing against it.
We call that moral imperialism.
That's a good word for it. It's a good word for it. What it does is it demoralizes us, but they use that as an excuse to go into these other countries. It's been quite interesting what's been going on this week over there, particularly in Syria and with Turkey being exposed as being the main funder of ISIS and giving them all the weapons and buying all the oil. And as we're making this program, they're discussing it in the House of Parliament at the moment about going over and bombing Syria, not getting rid of the Muslims that attacked us in Europe.
Turkey.
But Syria, yeah. Well,
I mean, nobody is calling for that, but I mean, it's obvious. Turkey is the one sending all this weaponry and money to ISIS. I mean, but everybody's sending money to ISIS. The Jews of Israel are sending money. The Jews of America are sending money and weapons. Everybody is funding this ISIS. I mean, this ISIS is not a – I mean, I don't know. I mean, the Muslims seem to like it. But it's not a thing that would have energy if it didn't have all this money being poured into it. I mean, because all these people, you can't have an army without people getting paid. I mean, you know, there's not that much loot in Syria because you can do that. You can't tell people they can loot and rape, and soldiers will come fight for you if they can loot and rape. But there's not that much looting or raping. I mean, they've got a fair bit of raping, but I think they already raped all the women who are not Muslim in their own territories. And, you know, they're running out of women to rape. So, I mean, the point is these guys are mercenaries. They're getting paid to fight for ISIS. There's no other reason they would be doing it. And it's known that they're being paid. So without this money, they're not going to keep doing this. So you have this outrage in the West now, about ISIS. Oh my God. It's so horrible. It's so horrible. Which, I mean, most of and they use it for the refugees, but most of these people, virtually all of them coming in from Syria are Sunni Muslims who are not being oppressed by ISIS. I mean, if ISIS takes over your town and you're a Sunni Muslim, what happens? Nothing happens to you. So these people are just fleeing for no reason. I mean, the idea that they're being abused by ISIS, Sunni Muslims are not abused by ISIS. This is their own people. How would they have this much power if they were abusing their own people that they're trying to steal this territory from Assad and Iraq? So, I mean, obviously these people love them. You know, I mean, if it was Shia Muslims or Turk or Christians rather, or Kurds fleeing as refugees, that would make sense, but none of those groups are fleeing as refugees. I mean, maybe some Christians are, I don't know, but Shiites and Kurds are not. So, I mean, this tells you this whole thing is a complete hoax. But yeah, I mean, now these countries want to go in there and bomb at the same time. I mean, they're writing articles. The Washington Post yesterday just posted a piece that's like, well, we need a dual strategy of invading and bombing the country and also bringing millions of refugees into our country from the country that they want to bomb. I mean, this is pure insanity. I mean, that these people are not being called out for this as just like, what are you talking about? We need to invade the country and bring all the people from it into our country? I mean, imagine if during World War II, there would have been millions of German men fleeing into the UK, of military age men, just saying, well, oh yeah, yeah, we just want to come in here and we don't like the war. We don't like wars. We want to come in and live here. Can you give us welfare? You know, I mean, what would Britain have done at that time? If you know, Germans were pouring in by the millions into Britain, men, fighting age men from Germany. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but that's the exact situation that we have right now. So, I mean, You know,
that's exactly what they're saying. That's exactly what they're calling for. I mean, it makes a lot of sense there where you're saying that they're you know, they're not saying that they're against ISIS, because all the ones they keep interviewing keep going on about Bashar Assad. So the Sunni groups are with ISIS, and they keep complaining about Bashar Assad and telling the British politicians that it's Assad that's killing all the people. So this, you know, this just confirms it, that they're not against ISIS, because all you hear them talking about is Bashar Assad, and all you hear the Labour politicians talking about is Bashar al-Assad. And yet Assad is trying to defend his country from the Islamists, from the terrorists.
Yeah, and he won 88% in a free election, 88% of the vote. So what are we talking about?
Well, they keep saying, oh, there needs to be a political transition where everybody from Syria gets a chance to have their say. Well, everybody in Syria did have a chance to have their say.
Yeah, it would be a coup. I mean, there's no other way to frame it than a coup. If you overthrow a democratically elected government, which is what Obama and the Kikes and the EU, Merkel, the Cameron, all these people are saying this, and it's like, what? This is an elected politician that these people want in power, and he's got all these terrorists, which you were paying for, attacking him. And then you're saying that the terrorists are bad too, but he's bad. And it's unbelievable. It's just watching it is so frustrating because it's so stupid, and that they're able to get away with this level of ridiculousness is painful in a lot of ways. I mean, it's just beyond anything that you're able to comprehend, that people are not calling them out for this. And it's just that the Jews have such control over the media. I mean, you imagine these meetings between Russians and NATO in the West, where it's just like constant. I mean, because what do they even talk about? Everybody from the West that's running this government and this media knows that Russia knows, and Russia knows that they know that they know. So, you know, what do they even talk about at these meetings? It just must be insane.
Well, Russia has got proof that Turkey has been buying the oil and sending the weapons over, and that's why they shot down the Russian plane. It was because Russia was getting close to putting a stop to the oil supply line. So Turkey have been shown up as being the main funders and supporters of the terrorism, and yet in the same week,
they're one of them. Everybody's funding these people.
One of them, alongside Saudi Arabia and Israel, America and the EU and all these people that are supposedly getting a coalition together to fight against ISIS. So they spent weeks getting this coalition together, and in that time, Russia have taken out about 800 different terrorist targets that they keep talking about. And while this is going on, we've seen Turkey, the so-called moderate Muslims Turkey, blow a plane out of the sky, shoot down the pilots that are parachuting out of a plane
that's in distress. Shot down the pilots, admittedly. The FSA that's funded by the CIA and by Turkey are shooting pilots of Russian planes. So, I mean, this is, and the fact that nobody even apologized to Russia over, I mean, at least on the level of the individual. I mean, this is a guy who's got, I don't know if he's got a wife and kids, but he's got a mother, you know, and presumably other family and friends and things. I mean, you would think at least on the human level, you would say, well, we're sorry for the tragedy that our terrorists murdered your guy. But they don't even say that. I mean, the Putin came out and said that it was inexplicable that nobody apologized. And it is, it's incredible. They come out instead and say, we stand with Turkey. Turkey that is funding ISIS. And is a terrorist state. I mean, Turkey is objectively, no matter how you frame this, it's a terrorist base. I mean, they say, well, oh yeah, well, maybe some of our people are dealing with ISIS, but not everyone. And it's like, well, I mean, whatever, however many of your people are dealing with ISIS, you are a terrorist organization, a terrorist state that's funding terrorism. And you know, the EU, instead, they come out and give them 3 billion euros. 3 billion euros they give to them, and they say that they're going to be responsible for stopping the immigrants. This is, I mean, what, why would you need Turkey's permission to stop immigrants? Okay. Let's say that it's the worst ever thing to ever shoot one of these people, which I don't think it is. Most people probably listening do not think it is. I mean, if you have people trying to break into your country, shooting them seems like a pretty reasonable thing to do. But let's say that it is the worst ever thing. Then stop the boats, turn them around. If they start to sink, pick them up, take them back to Turkey and drop them off on the beach. This is not complicated. You do not need to give 3 billion euros to a terrorist state to keep these people out of Europe. I mean, not to mention that Merkel invited them in. And now she's saying, oh, well, we got too many of them. I mean, what did you think? What is this? That, yeah, just all come in. All of you come in. And then, oh, whoa, slow down. You know, I mean, this is insane. So, on every single level, but the idea of giving 3 billion euros to Turkey and then saying, well, you can join the EU, which, I mean, how many immigrants are there coming from Syria? It would be better we take the whole population from Syria than allow Turkey in the EU, because that means 75 million Turks, which Turks are probably worse than the Syrians. I mean, I don't know. They're at least as bad. They're filthy people. These are disgusting people. And I mean, I don't know how many maximum refugees you can bring in from Turkey, but I think if you're weighing this out, it's better to just bring every single person from Turkey or from Syria who wants to come to Germany into Germany, rather than allowing Turkey into the EU, which is just going to be a flood of these monkeys where they can go anywhere. This is insane. And they're talking about letting them in Schengen. I mean, it's, you can't even process it. It's just too much that Merkel goes over there and gives 3 billion euros and says, well, now they're going to stop the refugees. Well, I mean, what do you even say?
Speechless. I could tell. Yeah. It really is it's speechless when you think about it. And they're also talking about making it easier for them. So it's going to be visa-free travel. Visa-free travel and $3 billion. So that they can actually speed up the refugee process. That's what they're talking about. And in the article that you've written on it, you reference another article, and I think that shows that 85% of these Turks in Germany are all on welfare. So your whole continent, you're going to open up Europe to a whole continent of Turkey, which is huge. You know, I mean, it's a huge country.
But it's also, they have an open border with all of Arabia. And these Turks, I mean, you think Erdogan won't just start passing out passports to people from Syria or Afghanistan or wherever the hell they're from? He's just going to start issuing mass passports as soon as they're allowed. I mean, this guy is an evil bastard. This is like a supervillain, like from James Bond. I mean, this is like a diabolical madman who's also not really very smart, which is kind of funny. But, because diabolical, you know, it implies like a level of intelligence. But this guy is just getting away with whatever he wants to get away with just because everybody's like, oh, yeah, okay. We'll do it. He's going to issue passports to any of these people who are coming through the open border. Turkey has an open border with all of the Muslim world. I mean, people are coming from Libya, Morocco, wherever the hell. I mean, from Pakistan, there's people from Bangladesh. Do you know how far that is? I mean, this is insane.
It will just turn into that's the route to get in, is just get into Turkey and get yourself a passport in Turkey, become a citizen in Turkey by staying there for a couple of years, and then you can get into Europe.
No, they won't even make, they'll just start issuing the passports. Erdogan will do that. This guy, Look this guy up, and look that he is a member of a party, a political party, which wants to establish a new Ottoman Empire. That's their purpose. That's their stated goal as a party. This is real. I mean, this is on Wikipedia. Look it up. His party is, their stated purpose is to establish a new Ottoman Empire. And, you know, flooding Europe with Muslims is obviously a big part of doing that plan that he has. He wants to be at the center of a new Muslim empire. And this is why he funds ISIS, because ISIS gets along with him. They look at the enemy as the reasonable Muslims, who the reasonable Muslims are the Shiites. These people are reasonable. I mean, overall, I mean, you look at Assad, Iran, Hezbollah. These people are all pretty cool guys. So, you know, he looks at them as the enemy, and he looks at Europe as the enemy. But Europe looks at him as a friend because Europe wants to destroy itself on purpose.
And he's also making a lot of money from the oil from ISIS. And it's his son that's involved in that. It's his son that's involved in that. And the people that try to expose this, the journalists that exposed this week, they've all been locked up. And you can get 4 years, apparently, for making a cartoon picture of Erdogan.
2 years. Yeah, 2 years. 2 years. They'll sentence you to 2 years for insulting the leader on Facebook. 2 years in prison. And right now they have a situation where somebody posted Smeagol from Lord of the Rings, and I guess he first appeared in The Hobbit, and then he was in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Gollum, isn't it?
The Gollum, yeah. And they compared Erdogan to this fantasy cartoon character, and they are now, the court has, the guy said he's a doctor. He's a doctor, this guy, a physician. And he said that he wasn't insulting Erdogan, that Smeagol is not a bad guy. So it wasn't an insult, that he's actually a good guy in the books. So the Turkish court has appointed a council of 5 Lord of the Rings experts to investigate whether or not Smeagol is a good guy or a bad guy. So, I mean, and this is the serious country. This is a serious country where you get shut down for making fun of the leader, which, I mean, they keep saying that Russia has no freedom because they banned Jew Soros, and they ban other things that are destructive to society. But in Russia, you're allowed to make fun of Putin. You don't get, if you post something making fun of Putin on Facebook, you don't get arrested. You don't get sentenced to 2 years in prison. You don't have a council of fantasy novel experts organized against you. I mean,
it's hilarious, really, isn't it? Yeah. A whole council of film experts to decide whether it was a good guy in the movie or the bad guy in the movie. And the whole world is watching on while Merkel's giving them money, saying that they are our allies. That's just, it's crazy.
As they're shooting down Russian planes for no reason and openly buying oil from ISIS and funneling weapons to ISIS. So, and arresting journalists who report on it. And they arrested generals who stopped a weapon shipment to ISIS. They arrested the generals and said they were abetting terrorists because they stopped weapons being transferred over the Syrian border to ISIS. The general stopped it, like, hey, what are you guys doing? You can't send all these weapons to ISIS? And then the government, Erdogan, is like, well, you're terrorists for stopping these weapons. These are my weapons going to my ISIS. So, it's incredible. It's just incredible that just after Turkey shoots down this jet, that Merkel goes and gives them all this money and says that's the only way. It's the only way to stop the refugees. I mean, these refugees are all already in Turkey. So to bribe Turkey, why not threaten Turkey? Or why not just stop them and send them back? I mean, they're coming in boats. Just turn the boats around. This is not, I mean, it's not anything really that complicated. For anybody to say that this is somehow complicated, they are trying to Jew you hard if they tell you it's complicated to stop refugees coming in. You know, or it's complicated to send them back. I mean, you could set up camps on Lesbos or wherever Kos, and put them in concentration camps and then send them back. Drop them off on the border of, on the beach in Turkey. You know, use cruise liners. Just take them in big ships and drop them off on the beach in Turkey and say, go back to your camps. We don't want you here. Get out. It's not, you know, there's nothing complicated about this. So anybody who tries to make it complicated, go ahead.
It worked in Australia. That's what they did in Australia. They just set up camps in Papua New Guinea for them. And they soon stopped coming. Once they realized they couldn't get into Australia, they were going to be put in a refugee camp in Papua New Guinea, they stopped coming. There's no more boats that arrive at Australia. And they did this months back. And it's just stopped entirely the flow of so-called refugees to Australia. And there's nothing in the UN Human Rights Act to prevent you from doing that. They're doing exactly what they're required to do, which is just to provide a safe haven for them. And that could easily be done with Kos or wherever. Could be done in Turkey. So they don't even need to come out from Turkey at all. And it's, as you say, it's crazy what's going on there. And if you contrast
it
with...
It's just also insane to try and even come at it like, well, I have a logical analysis of this. You just end up feeling like you're... like you've got something wrong with your brain trying to logically analyze what these people are doing, because it's actually completely insane what's going on. And then when you add the fact that nobody will say that it's insane, that you just have no, and then you have the Washington Post and the New York Times and, you know, the Guardian, these papers coming out and being like, yeah, yeah, this is exactly what needs to be done. This is really good. You know, it just makes you feel like you're locked in an asylum with where everything is completely controlled, coming at you by madmen.
It's high treason. That's what it is. It's high treason. I mean, we've got an army, we've got a navy, we've got an air force, and all of those should be being used to prevent the invasion of Europe. It's really that simple. I mean, Hungary have put the fence up. They've invited people to come along and have a look at the fence, see how it's done, and go and do this in your own countries. And then just put the army along there. That will prevent the people from coming in. But if you contrast what's going on in Turkey and Syria and in Europe, and then contrast that with Russia, and as you were just bringing up just then, and what have Russia done this week? Well, they've expelled George Soros and his organizations, the Open Society organization, the one that's at the root of all these fake revolutions. They were using that in Syria to try and kickstart the revolution there. They used it in Ukraine. I mean, it's well known.
In Georgia.
And the Endowment for Democracy, National Endowment for Democracy, they've kicked them out as well. All these NGOs that have been used for years to subvert countries under the disguise of being United Nations or human rights agencies or non-governmental organizations, they've got rid of all of them. And the Soros one, I mean, that's fantastic that he's done that. That is really,
well, these are
really
intelligence
good.
Agencies. I mean, basically, is what these groups are intelligence agencies, and they throw coups in these different countries by manipulating the political system and funding opposition groups and paying mercenaries. I mean, apparently, what it looks like is that the Soros was himself paying a lot of these mercenaries. I mean, the U.S. State Department was paying them. The EU was paying them. I mean, just think about how insane that is, that this happened in the Ukraine, that they paid people to violently overthrow an elected government, and they were caught doing it because the Russian intelligence recorded their phone conversations. So they were caught doing this. Okay. And then it just goes on as normal, and people are like, yeah, it's democracy. When you pay terrorists to throw bombs at the cops to overthrow the government, a democratically elected government, this is democracy. This is the true democracy. And then you send Nazis who work for Jews to go slaughter people who are trying to escape this new Jew government that introduces all these new taxes and austerity, all this stuff. When you install this revolutionary Jew government, you know, and then this is just, it just passes off like, yeah, okay, that makes sense to me. I mean, so yeah, I mean, kicking out George Soros, this is incredible. I mean, anybody who wants to, it's sort of died down, but you have all these shills on the internet, especially on Stormfront. I mean, I don't mean to call these people out, but Don Black is apparently lost control of this website. But Stormfront, yeah, they have all these shills promoting that the Ukraine is good, that it's good to like overthrow the government and install only Jews. It's literally only Jews. Klitschko is a Jew. Yatsenyuk is a Jew. Poroshenko is a Jew. These are the three top people in the government. The prime minister, the president, and the mayor of Kiev. They're all Jews. The second in command of Pravi Sector is an admitted, he's a religious Jew. He wears a yarmulke. And this is the Nazi group. This is a Nazi group where, you know, wearing these skull masks and having pictures of what's his name, the Bandera, or what's it, the
oh, I can't. Yeah, I think it's Bandera.
Yeah, the
Ukrainian hero.
The nationalist hero who collaborated with the Nazis. So, I mean, these are the Nazis. They served the Jews. This is, everybody knows this now, that these Ukrainians just fought for these Jews. And so, yeah, I mean, you have shills all over the internet shilling for Ukrainians and saying that Putin is bad. And whenever you see anybody saying anything bad about Putin, I just assume they're shills, honestly, because at this point, I mean, just look at everything he does. He arrests Jews, billionaire Jews. He puts them in prison. I mean, he's now supporting the ultimate, nemesis of Israel, working with Hezbollah in Iran and Assad against terrorists who are funded by Jews, probably organized by Jews. Today, Netanyahu admitted that he has Mossad agents and I guess regular IDF. That wasn't exactly clear inside of Syria, working in Syria. What are they doing? I mean, they're not fighting ISIS. So, I mean, they're working with ISIS against Assad, Israeli Jew troops. So, you know, I mean, Russia is the one country that's standing up to any of this. And so, I mean, if you see people attacking Russia on the internet, I just assume they're shills. There was that, you know, this user commenter on Daily Stormer called Proud White.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What has they been up to?
This had the fake female avatar.
Yeah.
And this account would come out and say stuff about Donald Trump, always attacking Donald Trump, always attacking Vladimir Putin and supporting the Ukraine, these Jews in the Ukraine, and then attacking, you know, Jesus and everything.
Always attacking Christianity. Yeah. I know
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I eventually looked this IP up. Guess where it is? Turkey.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't make it up, could you? You really couldn't make it up.
No, I posted a screenshot on one of the threads. So this is what, I mean, people are shilling hard. Ukrainians, especially
and Turks.
Apparently. I mean, it's not a proxy. You don't use a proxy from Turkey. Nobody does that. Because they block all the internet websites. So, I mean, Turkey has some of the most severe, it's worse than China as far as their internet censorship. Nobody uses a proxy from Turkey. So, so that was a Persian. And I was able to look up their Facebook and stuff. And it's a man who was using this female identity, which, I mean, they all tend to do this. A lot of these, at least these shills, they try and pretend they're women because women, you know, just scientific testing, they're going to get less backlash from men on the internet because of this, you know, desire that men have to be nice to women. That they get, you know, so you use this stock image of a pretty girl. And, if you see anybody claiming to be a woman on the internet, you should be suspicious, but,
especially a good looking one. Especially a good looking.
Yeah. I mean, reverse image search the photo. It's obviously not the actual picture of the woman, but you know, it was very instructive to see that this is somebody from Turkey posting and attacking Putin, attacking Donald Trump, and, you know, demeaning Christianity and Christian civilization and supporting the Ukrainian Jews. And these are patterns that you see with these shills on the internet. They seem to all be against Putin and trying to say that Putin, well, there's a picture of him. He's talking to a Jew. That means he's, everything is part of a conspiracy. I mean, what do these people even think? How can it all be? I mean, why would Putin, if he's controlled by Jews, be fighting with Hezbollah, supporting Hezbollah, which is the only group ever, I mean, since the 1967, who is directly opposed, and they actually beat, I mean, Hezbollah beat Israel. They beat them. So, I mean, Israel invaded Lebanon and they got their asses kicked. This was an incredible event. And this is who, you know, Putin is aligned with. And Assad, who has a constitution, who says that he's going to overthrow the Zionist regime, in Iran, who is the ultimate bad guy, who all these Jews keep saying we have to nuke. I mean, this is clearly what we have here is a Russia, which has become something very positive in the world. So, you know, when you see people shilling against Russia, it's an obvious sign that they're either somehow retarded or they're shilling.
Well, I think when they show you pictures of Putin with Jews, there's a Jewish oblast as part of the Russian Federation. So he's just being practical by actually talking to the Jews. I mean, he's supposed to be representing them in some cases.
Jews, whatever. But, you know, I mean, you can show the same pictures of Ahmadinejad meeting with Jews. So
yeah, there's a Jewish community in Iran, isn't there? There's a very sizable Jewish community in Iran, apparently second largest in the world.
Yeah, and they're pro-Iran. They're, I think it's the second largest in a Muslim country. I don't know exactly, but
something like that.
They're pro-Iran. I mean, they have a Jewish MP who speaks out against Israel. Because I don't know, Jews are like women. If you're hard on them, then I guess they just fall in line. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. But in Iran, they don't have any problems with these Jews. These Jews are not trying to cause them a problem. They're internal Jews. They have problems with external Jews, obviously. But, and you know, you can see the same pictures of Ahmadinejad. I mean, Putin doesn't seem to be having a problem with internal Jews. The ones that he does have a problem with get arrested and go to prison. I mean, he puts them in prison.
Yeah, the ones in Birobidzhan don't seem to cause him any problem. I brought this up before. I think one thing we should say is, you were saying about Stormfront, Don Black doesn't have anything to do with the day-to-day running of Stormfront, so I'm not sure that represents Don Black's feelings on the subject.
No, Don Black doesn't run the website. It's Don Black doesn't. I mean, Don Black agrees with me about Russia. So does David Duke. It's just, I have to just be honest, I'm not insulting Stormfront, certainly not insulting Don Black, but I mean, the site has an incredible amount of shills on it.
Problem with moderators, I would have thought. The moderators have taken
over the moderation system, and they appear to have complete control of the site. So, they're shilling for the Ukraine. If you see anybody supporting the present Ukrainian government, which is funded completely by Jews, to send fake Nazis to overthrow the government and install only Jews. I mean, not every single person in the government is a Jew, but the president, the prime minister, and the mayor of Kiev, all Jews. I mean, this is incredible.
It's a funny sort of national socialist revolution, isn't it? Putting Jews in charge.
And it was Victoria Nuland, who worked at the State Department, who is the Jew wife of the Jew Robert Kagan, who was this top neocon Jew from the Bush administration, who arranged all this to get these people funding. And the Jew Vitaly Klitschko is recorded on the phone with Victoria, or not the phone, it was emails were hacked and released, where he says, we need more money. We need more money for these people protesting. We need more money and pay the protesters. And it was released that these people were getting, that through the alleged nationalist party, the U.S. State Department was giving these people 50 euros a day to go out and fight against the police, to violently attack police. And this is a democratically elected government. When they had that revolution, the elections were only a year away. Okay? So this is after that orange revolution that George Soros funded in the Ukraine failed, with that Jew with the braid,
Tomyshenko. Yeah.
So she tried to throw a revolution there, with Soros funding, and she is also a Jew. Coincidentally, way big coincidence that all these good Jews that support the nationalism in the Ukraine. Okay, straight up, the Ukraine is not a country. It's a territory of Russia. That, I mean, that's a fact of the matter. And, you know, this is a lot of shilling coming out of this this wing that supports these Ukrainian Jews. You know, you have shilling coming out of Turkey. You have all kinds of shilling going on the internet. And I mean, just keep focused. You know, Putin is definitely fantastic. Russia is fantastic. They're fighting these Jews. They're fighting the whole Western Jew system, standing up for themselves, standing up for white Christian European civilization and our value system. These people are standing up for that. And Donald Trump is good. I mean, I don't know. He's probably not going to be president, but what he's doing is fantastic for the morale of the United States, even if he doesn't become president, which he most likely will not, although his Vegas odds are going up. But this guy is fantastic. What he's doing is organizing a white consciousness, a collective white consciousness, and making it acceptable again to possess a white identity. This cannot be overstated, the value in this. And so these people shilling, saying that, oh my God, he's got a Jewish son-in-law. I mean, that's pro-white. What is the name? The poster, Proud White. She said that I looked him up. It. I know who it is. It said that if Donald Trump got assassinated when he was president, that the presidency would be transferred to his Jewish son-in-law, that his Jewish son-in-law would become president if he got assassinated. And it said that Trump was planning to get assassinated so that his Jewish son-in-law would become the president. I mean, this is what, you know, this is the level of shilling you're dealing with. So, and it's always the same. That you have people who shill that believe in idiot autistic conspiracy theories, or claim to believe in these autistic conspiracy theories, which, I mean, there are some autistic people who I guess just believe that everything is a conspiracy because they're defectives, who can't properly process information in a way that makes sense. I mean, that's what autism is. So, I mean, you know, there are people who actually believe this, but the majority of these people saying that they believe this do not actually believe it, and they're just putting that out there to try and confuse people. Everything is a conspiracy, and you know, it's like, well, why would Russia be fighting all these Jews if they're secretly controlled by Jews? And they'll say, oh, well, it's obvious that this is all part of the conspiracy, and then they'll give you some confusing, weird answer that, and then show pictures. You know, I mean, people just need to be aware that this is happening. This is definitely happening.
Well, how many times does somebody have to make it clear that they're actually one of the good guys? I mean, you can just think of all the things that Putin's done recently, getting rid of Soros, supporting Assad all this time, speaking up against the homosexual laws, talking about strengthening the anti-homosexual propaganda laws, making speeches about how the West has thrown away its Christian traditions and is now supporting satanic ideals such as homosexuality and promoting giving away children to homosexuals, banning the adoption of Russian children so that they don't get given to homosexuals to abuse. And he's done so many positive things. You weigh that up against, well, there's a few pictures of him at the, you know, with some Jews. There's also pictures of him snubbing Jews. There's a wonderful GIF going around where this dirty rabbi holds out his hand, tries to kiss Putin's hand, and Putin just pulls his hand away and snubs him. It's a really good GIF. Yeah, I'll have to send that to you if you haven't seen it already, Andre. But there's so many good things. There's so many good things that that he's done, and Trump as well. So, you know, it's good that we have actually got these people that we can support. We have finally got some people in the main media spotlight that are doing positive things. So I think that's probably a good note to end the podcast on, unless you've got anything you just want to add here at the end, Andre?
No, I'm done. Trump 2016.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening, and do tune in again next week for another Stormer Report.
We'll be right back.